Lee filter, also known as the Wiener filter, implemented as a locally adaptive filter, or the LLMMSE filter, locally linear minimum mean squared error filter. Now, even though this filter is adaptive to local statistics, the statistics that we compute, let me go back to this equation, or these two equations, the local statistics are computed using rectangular windows or square windows. So these rectangular windows are not guaranteed to include only pixels belonging to a specific type of region. So when these are reasonably large, they cannot be very small, because if you use a very small window, the statistics computed would not have enough data support. If you make the window very large, or even 5x5, 7x7, depending upon the nature of the image that you have, such a rectangular window is not guaranteed to include only one type of an object, or one type of background, or one type of image structure. For example, let me go back to the image here. Suppose I use a 7x7 window that is rectangular, and I'm processing this. The 7x7 window could include that little triangle and some background, because that little triangle is very small. I don't remember what the size of that is, but let's assume that it is smaller than 7x7. So a rectangular window at this position could include a part of that object and background. Of course, when the window is completely in the background area, we are estimating statistics of the background, which is okay. But such a window could also sit across the edge of an object, where a part of the window contains this object and a part of the window contains the background. And in that case, we saw that noise is not effectively filtered. So Lee suggested something further. In the refined version of this filter, if the local variance sigma square g computed from the degraded image is high, beyond some threshold — what is high? You have to have some limit, and say if it is more than some threshold, it is too high. It is assumed that the processing window is overlapping an edge. And obviously that must be greater than the variance of noise, because you want to remove noise. So if it is much greater than the variance of noise, and put some limit and make it very large, if it is larger than that, you say that the window is overlapping background and object, and you assume that then you are sitting across an object's edge. The direction of the edge is computed then using a gradient operator with 8 possible directions for the edge in this paper published by Lee later on as a modification or refinement to the method we saw earlier. According to the direction of the edge, the processing window is split into 2 sub-areas, each of which is then assumed to be uniform. And the statistics computed from within the sub-area that includes the pixel being processed will be used. The remainder of the window is not used. So obviously, again, we need a big window that we can cut in half and still have enough pixels to compute the local statistics. So this reduces noise in the neighborhood of edges without blurring edges. And over uniform areas where this variance is small, statistics will be computed over the entire window. And when I say statistics here, we are only using the mean and the variance. So Lee suggested these arrangements to cut windows in half, where the windows shown are 7x7 windows. So you have 49 pixels. If you cut in half, then you still have 3x7, 21 pixels. It's not exactly half. You may not use the pixels along that edge or that cutting line. So this is one possibility to overcome problems with edges, but then you can only consider edges of these orientations. There could be some object with some other edge, and that object corner may be cut by this type of arrangement to cut the neighborhood in 2 parts. So this is one possibility that Lee suggested, and he showed that you could get better results. Better results in the sense you could suppress noise around edges of objects and not blur the edges. Now there is another variety of the Wiener filter that is called the noise updating repeated Wiener filter that was proposed by Jiang and Sarchuk. Now this deals with signal independent additive and signal dependent Poisson multiplicative noise, and they showed that the filter works well with these types of noise. The image is assumed to be a random field that is non-stationary in mean invariance, and that's why you need the adaptation with a local window. It is an iterative application of the filter we saw just now. After each iteration, the variance of noise is updated. Because you do some filtering in one step, in the next step, the variance of the noise that is remaining in the image will be different, will be lower. So the new variance is computed from the previous variance using this expression where you have the variance of the noise, the variance of the image, and these ratios, and I won't read all of that, but it's a modification of the noise variance from one iteration to the next. So they showed that you could apply the same filter repeatedly. So that is about the Wiener filter, in which a particular window size is chosen, or the MMSE filter, and the window could be cut in half in the refined version, and it could also be iteratively applied. There is another filter that is known as the LMS filter, the least mean squares filter. Some of these names are a little similar, but the method here is different. In the adaptive LMS filter, there is an adaptive filter that is brought in that adapts to the nature of the image being filtered without reference to any other differentiation or matrix operations or statistics. Now, the background to this is a fixed window Wiener filter in which the filter coefficients vary will depend upon the characteristics of the image. This is based upon the method of steepest descent. The authors of this are Chan and Lim and Hadood and Thomas. The LMS algorithm is based on the method of steepest descent. It tracks variations in the local statistics of the given image, as you will see. It does not require any a priori information about the image noise statistics or their correlation or spectral density, just based upon the image that is given, and there is no differentiation or matrix operations involved. In the 2D LMS algorithm, you have a causal finite impulse response filter, WLPQ. The causality is in the sense of the pixels being scanned in a certain window that only looks backwards in the scanning order of the image. So the output image, F tilde MN, is simply given by the convolution of the filter WLPQ with the given image GM minus PN minus Q. But the filter W keeps changing. The coefficients of the filter will change from one pixel to another pixel. So as you move the convolution window across the image to filter, the coefficients of the filter W will change and will adapt to the statistics of the image. The convolution operation is the same, and the window size is the same, P by P window, but the weights will change. L marks the current position of the filter in the image, and you don't have to, if you want, you can write it as WMN or something, but you could also simply call L equal to small m times capital M, the number of rows, plus N for the current position, so that you only have one index for the filter. Otherwise, you will have to manipulate two indices. You could write this as WMNPQ. So L will go 0 to MN minus 1, the number of pixels in the image. So when you apply the filter to one pixel and move to the next pixel, the filter coefficients are updated. WL plus 1 PQ. Now, P and Q are the indices of the filter coefficients in the convolution. The subscript L indicates the current position in the image, or the current version of the filter. So the filter coefficients for the new position, pixel position L plus 1, will be determined by minimizing the mean squared error between the desired pixel value FMN for that pixel, the original unknown pixel, and the estimated pixel value F tilde at the current pixel position using the method of steepest descent. If you have studied one-dimensional adaptive filters, including the LMS method, then this procedure is the same as the standard LMS filter. So WL plus 1 MN, the new filter coefficients, are given as the present filter coefficients WLPQ plus a change. You will modify the coefficients using this measure. So WL plus 1 PQ is given by WLPQ for each PQ minus this correction factor. Here, mu is a scalar controlling the rate of convergence and stability. How much change will you allow in the filter coefficients as you move from pixel to pixel? And then EL is some error signal, error in the estimation. And nabla is a gradient with respect to WLPQ. Now the error is defined as DMN, where DMN is the original signal that is the desired signal. We don't know that, but later on it'll be worked out. This is the approximation to the original signal FMN. And you have to estimate it somehow. Hadood and Thomas said get DMN from the input GMN by decorrelation, and by decorrelation they mean apply a delay operator and get it from a previous pixel that you have already processed. And they use the delay of 1-1. So DMN is GMN with a delay of 1-1, so it is GM minus 1, N minus 1. Another pixel nearby. So that is only an estimate. Then WL plus 1 PQ is WLPQ plus 2 mu EL GM minus P N minus Q. So that is the formulation of the filter. This is a recursive equation defining the filter coefficients at the current pixel where we are processing, L plus 1, with respect to what you had as the filter for the previous pixel. Okay, just a minute. Yeah. That's the formulation of the LMS filter. So here are some examples. This is another test image using these simple geometric shapes. B is the noisy image with Gaussian noise added. And this is part C, is the 2D LMS filter. It has maintained the edges fairly sharp, but there is quite a bit of noise in the background, and the background is uneven. So this is what we got in our implementation. Now there could be a few factors. There is the factor mu that you have to set, and the way you define the error EL, the delay operator you apply. So there are a few possibilities to modify in this expression. The filter has to be initialized to be something, and then it'll adapt after a number of passes through the image. It'll adapt, but the factor mu is something that is set by the user. The error EL is also to be set by the user, defined appropriately, and then you get this GM minus, this is just the value of the image at that location. So there are some factors that the user has to define and choose appropriately based upon the application and the nature of the image being filtered. In our experiments, we got an image like this, for the test image there. It is good in the sense the edges have not been blurred, which is important in smoothing. for noise removal without sacrificing edge information. But we can do better. The remaining images we will come back to later on because they are filters that we will see now. Okay. Now, Mahesh Song and others, Song and Perlman, they came up with a different adaptive filter where they said, change the size of the window from pixel to pixel according to what you want to do and using local information. But they still kept the window as a rectangular window. The size of the window was changed, the height and width were changed, pixel to pixel, in order to adapt to the size of the details and local statistics present. So, the adaptive rectangular window LMS filter. The degradation model is as before, we have seen, and it is assumed that the image processes have zero mean. In general, images don't have zero mean. So what this makes is, or what this would require is that we compute the mean of the image and remove it, and then the image is zero mean. You filter and do all the corrections, and then at the end you put that mean back and shift the image so it will have the proper intensity value. So we can create artificially this condition, and then the output, F tilde Mn, is simply alpha Mn Gmn. That's all. There is a correction factor for every pixel. There could be a constant correction, but we are taking out that out because we said the image has zero mean, and hence the result also would be expected to have a zero mean. And then we just shift it. The problem reduces to that of finding this alpha Mn at each pixel using some optimization criterion or minimum error criterion. And we can use the minimum mean squared error criterion as that for the Wiener filter. So Emn, the error is f minus f tilde hat, f tilde rather, and f, that is fmn minus alpha mn minus times gmn. Again, we don't know the original f, but it'll be worked out. The minimization of the mean squared error requires that this signal E, the error signal, be orthogonal to the image. That is, when you rotation of the image G with E, it should be zero. So under that assumption or condition, you solve for alpha and you obtain this relationship. You can work this out. Take the expectation of F with G and alpha and so on. And as we have done before, you get some variances and covariances, and you get alpha Mn equal to the variance of F divided by variance of F plus eta. Now, because the noise is of zero mean, the mean mu G is equal to the mean mu F. So you just bring that back. F tilde Mn is mu G plus this factor times G minus mu G. We have removed the mean from the filter, from the image G before filtering. So that's what is going in. And this is the filter. And then you add the mu G back at the end. Okay? So this looks similar to what we have seen so far previously, except that there are some small changes here in how the variance was obtained. If you compare this with Lee's filter, you see many similarities. Now, how do you get these variance values? The implementation of the adaptive rectangular window LMS filter is as follows. There is an assumption made that the pixels in the immediate neighborhood of a pixel Mn are samples from the same ensemble as fmn. So we don't have an ensemble of images, so we have to convert ensemble statistics to local spatial statistics. So you take a local spatial population. That is, again, ergodicity. All of these filters need to be implemented in the context of the single image that you have on hand. So a globally non-stationary process is considered to be locally stationary and ergodic over a small region within the processing window. The question is, what should be the size of that window? And that is made adaptive in this filter. So if we determine the size of a neighborhood in which the image values have the same statistical properties, the sample statistics can approximate the a posteriori parameters in that equation we saw just now. So we want to replace the ensemble statistics with local statistics using appropriate populations of pixels. So the problem now is identify the size of a stationary rectangular region for each pixel, calculate the local statistics, and use those statistics in the equation we got just now. The window size changes according to some measure of signal activity. That is what these authors proposed. So you start with some size, 3x3 or whatever you want. And then for every pixel, you change the height and width of this rectangular window by measuring some local statistics and increasing or decreasing the window within some limits. So that is what we have here. The adaptive rectangular windows are of odd length LR in row and LC in the column direction. LR is 2nr plus 1 and LC is 2nc plus 1. So the window is centered plus minus nr plus minus nc around the current pixel to obtain the local statistics like this. This is the local mean, the index going minus nr to nr minus nc to nc, just the pixels in the local window, rectangular window, that's the number of pixels, and this is the variance. These are the statistics you need for the filter we derived just now. Now, we need to adjust these two parameters, nr and nc. This is just the same equation with the local estimates substituted. Now, these quantities, LR and LC, are varied depending upon what the authors called a signal activity parameter, SR. How busy is the image in that window? And they used the pixels in this window and the current value of LR and LC minus mu r square and minus sigma eta square. So this is the variance of noise. Mu r is an estimate of the local mean, but only in the row direction, because you're adjusting the row parameter here. So this is the variance in the window, rectangular window, but then only the row parameter is computed here for the mean, and only the row parameter is adjusted in this step. Nr, the number of rows considered in the window, is reduced by 1 from the current value, whatever it was, if SR is greater than some threshold TR, so you need a threshold. So you have to say how much is that parameter that you will tolerate, which is a kind of a variance. Or NR is increased if the activity is less than the threshold. So in a relatively homogeneous area, you make the window bigger and bigger. If you are getting across across an edge or a busy area of the image where the activity is high, you reduce the window. But it takes a few steps before the window size can change, because at each step you only decrement or increment by 1 pixel, and then you move to the next position, and then it will change slowly. And you could put some limits on NR that it cannot be less than something and cannot be more than something, so it doesn't become too big or too small. The threshold was computed in this manner. TR is some factor kappa, a weighting factor, and variance of noise divided by LR. So the threshold is related to the size of the window and the noise variance and some factor, so you don't allow it to change too much from one step to next. The same procedure, or a similar procedure, is used to update NC. Just change R to C and you get the same set of formulas, except that the mean is computed in the column direction now. So this is what the authors, Song, Perlman, and Mahesh, they proposed, where the operation performed is based upon local statistics, like the Lee filter, but the window size is adjusted in row direction and the column direction by 1 pixel at a time, reduced or increased, depending upon a measure of local variance. And the threshold is also modified or adapted as you go through the image. So there are two types of adaptive filters we have seen. One is based upon local statistics with a window that was fixed. And Lee later on said you could cut the window in half in a particular direction if you determine that the local variance is too high. And then we are seeing this one where similar local statistics are used, mean and variance, but the window size is adjusted as you move from pixel to pixel. Then we saw the LMS filter where the window size is fixed, but the coefficients keep changing. The coefficients that are used to compute the output will change pixel to pixel, and they are used in the convolution. So there are these various possibilities of adapting to local detail and structure and statistics in a given image by modifying the filter in terms of the size of the region of support or neighborhood used and the procedure that is applied, local statistics or changing filter coefficients. So let's go back and look at this image here where, so again, that is the original, this is noisy. This was the part C, is the LMS filter. Part D is the adaptive rectangular window LMS filter that we saw just now. Let me zoom and I'll explain some parts. So here we have the noisy image, quite noisy as you can see. So this is the adaptive LMS filter. And the filter has maintained the edges sharp, but even in uniform areas where there is only noise, the background is quite non-uniform. One would have expected the output here to be fairly smooth, as in the original image. Now, coming to this image on the right-hand side, this is the adaptive rectangular window filter using statistics, mean and variance. So here, as you expect, the edges remain sharp. In relatively smooth areas in the background, the window is allowed to grow fairly large, and you can see this area is very smooth as compared to the noisy area there and compared to the original, which is perfectly smooth. The LMS filter did not achieve that result. But when you consider areas near edges of objects, the adaptive rectangular window filter will shrink the window size near these points around edges. As the filtering window approaches the edge of an object, it starts reducing the window size. And then when the window becomes very small, you cannot filter adequately using the local statistics, and noise is left around the edges of these objects. That's the price you pay. Within large objects, you see that the noise has been effectively suppressed. This square or rectangle and that rectangle, they're all fairly big, the circle. So inside large objects and in background areas, the method works well by allowing the window to be large. At edges, the window becomes small and it doesn't filter adequately. So there is always a price to pay. Okay? I'm sorry, I'll have to go back and forth because the images are somewhere else and they are in groups so you can compare them. But that's how we'll have to handle it. Any questions on these? Next, we will take up something quite different, which is our own work. When I started my postdoc fellowship with Dr. Richard Gordon in Winnipeg, in Canada, we started to develop a technique that we later on called adaptive neighborhood filtering. So this particular technique is my own or our own with Dr. Richard Gordon, and later on some of my grad students developed it further. The idea is to change not only the size of the window that is used to compute the filter coefficients or to perform image processing, but also the shape. There is nothing sacred with rectangular shapes for windows. In fact, rectangular windows are quite unnatural in image processing systems because most apertures used are circular or hexagonal approximations to circular apertures. You could possibly use rectangular apertures, but in practice, most imaging systems would use nearly circular apertures. But why should the rectangular window, or why should the adaptive window that we saw just now be constrained to be rectangular? There is no particular reason. If we could make even the shape of the neighborhood adaptive, then perhaps we could avoid the artifacts we saw around the edges of the objects, where we could possibly identify better regions that will clearly separate an object from the background. And the background could be large of any shape and size, and if that is the case, we could group all of those pixels together and process them separately. And if an object is triangular, then you should use a triangular window. If it is hexagonal, use a hexagonal window. If it is some odd shape and size, use a window of that size and shape to compute its statistics. But to do that, we need to perform region growing so we can identify the true size and shape of every region. And as an approximation, we could say, well, we don't have to find the exact size and shape of every region in the image, but as long as we get a bunch of pixel values within that object, and the size and shape of our neighborhood could be anything, but all we want to constrain is that these pixels belong to the same population as the object that we are within. Object 1, object 2, background 1, background 2, whatever. So as long as we do not mix pixels of one type or object with pixels of another neighboring type or object, we are okay. We don't require all the pixels of the object. If the object is that big, we don't need the 1,000 pixels there. We just need, let's say, 100 pixels to compute reliable statistics of that object. But if we are sitting near the boundary of that object, we don't want to cross that boundary. And as long as we limit ourselves to pixels within the object and select, let us say 100 pixels or 200 if you wish, or some number, and compute the statistics for the filter using only these pixels and process that particular pixel that we are visiting, we are better off than using a square or rectangular neighborhood. So that's the main idea here. How we achieve it and what we do within using those pixels is another question. So the adaptive neighborhood filter is based upon a variable size, variable shape neighborhood that is determined individually for every pixel in the image. So computationally, it is very expensive. You have to pay a price. The adaptive neighborhood is grown for the pixel being processed, which is called the seed, and contains only those spatially connected pixels that are somehow similar to the point from where you started. And similarity is in the sense of some statistical similarity or limited deviation from that pixel. The neighborhood does not grow over edges, but overlaps a stationary area. It doesn't have to include that whole area, but just has to overlap and be within a stationary area. The statistics computed using the pixels inside the adaptive region then, under these conditions, are likely to be close to the true statistics of the local signal and noise components. By signal here, we mean whatever the object you have in that position in the image. The entire image is made up of many parts, many objects, such as this scene. As I said earlier, there is a wallpaper, there is that, there is this, there is somebody here, somebody else here, a desk, and so on. Each one of these objects is a separate signal with its own characteristics, statistical characteristics. So when processing that region, I want to have statistics that will represent that region. When processing this region, I would like statistics of that region. So that is what we mean by the local signal. And there is always noise, so we have to include statistics of the local noise also. The noise could be stationary or not, we don't know, and we don't have to say that here.